Hi, this is Tracy Watson, and welcome to the Laughing Mother Project, where we laugh at the days to come. Hi, moms. Welcome to the Laughing Mother Project podcast. Today we have a wonderful guest, Maria.
Hi.
Maria, please, can you tell us where you're from? Everybody's going to hear your beautiful accent now, but where are you from and your family?
Well, thank you, Tracy, for inviting me to this conversation. I'm from Tilly. Well, Concepcion is the city that I born, but from Tilly, the country. I have been here for 3 years and something, and I'm here with, I have been living only in Auckland for this time in New Zealand, and I came with my family, my husband, and my little one that was 2.5 when she came here, so she born in Tilly as well, and we are all together, plus my sister and her family, that is my two nephews and my brother-in-law. So we are a big family, all Tillians, except for the little baby that is a Kiwi.
Oh, you've got a Kiwi in the family now.
Yes.
So it's quite interesting. But Maria, I remember you telling me that you are two sisters married to two brothers.
Exactly. Yes, we are. Yes, we are three sisters. So one is back in Tilly. She's there, but the two that came here, we are married, we are the two sisters, and we're married with two brothers.
So you've got the same surname still.
Exactly. and my daughter and my nephews have the same
surname.
Exactly,
they are
same,
cousins,
same.
But like brothers.
Exactly. Well, they consider themselves as brothers, yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's actually so good, because it is very hard when you live away from your family. You really miss having history and people.
Absolutely.
Who just get you. So
absolutely,
to have your sister and for your husbands to have their brothers.
Yes, I have heard from many people how lucky I am, but I already knew, yes, and I'm very lucky. We need each other.
I love your accent.
Oh,
I always feel like I could just listen to the South American accents. It sounds like you're singing when you talk.
Well, kind of. I think I will never notice that, because I can realize that I have a different accent, but you really can't tell till you listen some other in another language, and you can tell that they have a different accent. So it's funny how can we realize.
Yes, and my children always laugh at me, because if somebody has an accent that they sound like they're singing, I almost want to mirror it. So I don't change my accent, but if they go up on the end, I go up on the
end. Well, but that's
so
right
embarrassing.
No, but that's the right attitude. Actually, I think one of the models that you have to follow is like really being immersed on the accent, on the culture, and try to follow the example. If you just are too scared to follow that, maybe you will always sound like your native tongue and not like,
yes,
a, like
embrace
the one that you're
the
trying.
New culture.
Exactly.
Oh, that's
exactly
a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
So you sound like Modern Family.
Yeah, like Sofia Vergara. Yeah, kind of.
Oh, that's cool. Talking about that, tell us, how important is family in your culture?
Very important. When I was thinking about the questions yesterday and I was trying to organize my ideas, I was thinking, how important is family? And they are really important. At least, I mean, in Chile, we are the kind of families in general. Of course, there are exceptions, but in general, we have this big, very close family. And actually, we always try to be together in everything that we can, and in not in an invasive way. It's just that we try to be together for you know. And when I was thinking about that, I was thinking how important for me has been my parents' role in all this.
Yes.
Like how they have been there always for me, good times, bad times, till now I'm 33, and they are still in there to just give me a good advice, or just to have the, you know, the right word to keep going if you're having a bad moment, or encourage you to do this new challenge, or even my sister, or I don't know, it's just those I could define it like supportive, absolutely. Like I would say, like networks, you know,
yes.
Like when you have that, the right thing. I even if I have a question about life, you know, things that you still don't know, you're an adult, but you still need to ask, and you have your close circle in there. And I think that's family four.
I love what you're saying there, because you can trust. The Bible says that in the counsel of many is much wisdom. And if you go for counsel to family, you know that they love you. They have unconditional love towards you, right?
Exactly.
So you can trust their advice. They've got your best interests at heart.
Exactly.
And tell me, so are the roles of the mother and the father quite traditional in Chile? Like, is it quite modern that everything is shared between the men and women? Or?
Well, interesting question. I think we are changing. New generations are doing things differently. For example, if I can see my grandma back in time, she will be the one serving my grandpa. My grandpa will be the one providing the family.
Yes.
You know, like that very Marx model,
yes,
conservative way to do things. I think that my grandma didn't even learn how to drive, for example. She would always be very dependent.
Okay.
Of my grandpa. But I think with times I saw things different. For example, we were three girls at home, so we didn't have any brothers. And it was my dad, my mom, and I always was told about how important for me was being independent. Study in Chile is really important. That I see a different here, but in Chile is really important. It's like, it's out of the question. And you need to study, you need to learn. And it's a hard thing because some people maybe don't have the money, but still you see really a huge effort for people to try to
educate themselves.
Yes, yes. It's like the message is always that you need to have something and be better person. And that means learn. And with that, being independent and don't have to be attached to someone, for example, just because you need their money or you don't have any way to move in life. So for me, that message is really clear, very modern, if you want. But as we were three girls, that was really important, like being independent in life. And just to have that
sense
power,
of
that inside confidence,
yes.
You know? I think that's the main message. My dad always told us, you need to learn how to drive, you need to learn how to move yourself around. Like, there were
wow,
so
did
many
he know
things.
You were going to move to another country?
Well, actually, he's really happy because I think at the moment that I came here to New Zealand, I was really, how can I put this in English words, but I was already a professional. I already had my job.
Yes.
Like, you know, I was independent. So I think all the message for him was, she's a big girl now, so she have the chance to move around with the better skills that I could
yes
give her and
yes.
Be able to, you know,
go and explore.
Exactly. And with my husband, that is a huge support. And at this point, it wasn't like I was single and coming here,
yes.
You know, and just coming back. It was like a huge plan as a family.
Yes.
So that changed the whole picture, I think,
for him. Yes.
Yeah, but really important. Our family is really important for us. Yes.
And you know what's interesting and I love about you? People can't see you, but they will see your photo. That you have, and your sister, you have these beautiful smiles and happy, cheerful spirits. And so you seem to me like South American people are very generous. They like to feast and feed and, you know, bless
yeah.
And serve and give. So it's so interesting to me that you see, even educating your children now is having something to give and not only being dependent, which would speak on like you in the position to, you know, it's powerful to give, to
exactly.
Have something to give back to the world.
Exactly. Yes, yes. I think that you can notice immediately when you go to a place and you have South American people that we will be all talking and all moving our hands. Till today, I have Kiwi friends that will laugh because I will start talking and moving my hands all around. Because
it's just
very expressive. Yes,
it's very
yes.
Expressive.
We are really expressive. Also, with this COVID thing, we were struggling because we are a lot of hugging,
yes.
You know, a lot of some people could not feel comfortable. Of course, we try to be respectful as we can, but we show our care and our love to the people that is close to us. Of course, with that, it's like feeling
physical
that
touch.
I got you.
Yeah, I love it.
I think that's the message. It's like, yeah, I think that's the message. When I hug my husband and we're having this like warm hug, it's like, okay, we're here. You know, I think that's the message.
How cool is that? I love it.
If I can, yes, I never did that analysis before.
It's like I got you.
Yeah. I think that's the message.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
So now you were encouraged to study and you studied speech therapy.
Yeah.
And can you tell us now, there's maybe mothers that are listening that are wondering, should I, you know, how do I know if my child needs to go and see a speech and hearing therapist? I am sure that there are some obvious things that the doctor suggests, but maybe it's less obvious things that they could be helped.
Yeah, and I think, Tracy, that's really important, because I was thinking also yesterday about it. And they could, you know, you can find thousands of red flags, if you want. That's how we call it sometimes, that you can just have an idea what you can pay attention to. And my main experience was in the spectrum, autistic spectrum disorders, back in Chile. So what it will be very important for us was paying attention to the development of the kid. So you don't have to guess what you should pay attention to. You just know that some things or either are not there, or either you think that they are here and they disappear in some moment, or then you see sometimes some things that are not there. And I'm going to explain myself. For example, if you see that a little baby, it's growing, and it's not, for example, reacting to some noises around in the environment and don't have reactions about that, you will pay attention.
Yes.
For example, you know, we have 1,000 things, and obviously I can't give full advice about it, but you can pay attention to little things. So those kind of things will ring a bell. I would say, okay, we need to check. It could be many things, you know. It could be from something stuck in the ear that could just block the sound, because it could, till something obviously more serious than that, and maybe that the little kid or little girl is not hearing. So there is a big gap there in between what things could happen. So we could pay attention. There are things that the doctor should be
diagnosing and seeing.
And sending to exams and everything. So you should have certain things. I am aware of what Chile have in the program. I'm just knowing now what they have in the program here in New Zealand. But for example, they do exams to newborns to check some things. But then in the develop is a mom who is day by day, you know?
Yes.
And for example, if after a year you see that it's not coming any words, and when we talk about words, we talk about with words with meaning. So if I call
not
you...
Not babbling. Actual words that you can see, they know what they are talking about.
Because sometimes dad and mom will say, oh yeah, he's 6 months and he's already saying mom and dad. But what actually they are doing is experimenting the sounds, you know? So it's different. But the thing is that it's something coming. When you find that is something not coming there, you have to check if in certain time you're getting new words, if they are trying to use it. So that would be a thing. If after 2 years still don't start a proper language, you should
investigate.
Because what usually I say to moms and dads that comes with me, or that used to come with me in Chile, was that it's better to check
100%
and there is that nothing that just wait too long. And what happens in, for example, in my country sometimes is there are doctors that are really clever and they will send you to check, but there are some others that will say, ah, no worries, they will talk, just wait. And then we find kids with 5 years old, almost to go to school, with serious language delays, and that we had need to work, you know, very fast, and it's not appropriate for the kid. They have a lot of pressure on them, and the system in Chile, the educational system, is really hard on the kids that don't start talking and reading on time. So yeah, being on time means a lot of help.
Yes.
Because you can improve a lot of things and find out things if there is something in there.
You know, that is such a key, because I've seen it on the other hand as a teacher. I remember having a little play group from home, and there was a little girl in my class, and I noticed that I thought she was misbehaving because she was running around, and every time I would ask her to do something, I thought she was being a little bit defiant because she wouldn't even look at me. She would just go and do her own thing. And then I thought I'll just speak to her mom. Mm-hmm. But I asked her mom, I just said to her mom, I don't know if she's not hearing me, so please can you just go and check her ears? Do you know that she had actually had a burst eardrum? But her parents didn't know because there'd been a gradual buildup of congestion. I'm not a medical doctor.
No, but you
but we could have been angry at the behavior when the child is actually struggling with something.
And Tracy, that's so important, because I think that sometimes the routines, the amount of kids, situations can make you think that you know what is going on, and sometimes there's so much behind. But being mindful and thinking that maybe could be something else,
yes,
could help you just to check. And you know, sometimes we don't even have a full diagnostic in some kids. You have part of the checklist, but you still have something to work on. And so if you know that the kids have something about the hearing, you can improve things like sitting them more close to you, maybe have more visual cues, like a lot of things that can improve.
Great
that.
Advice.
Exactly. If you know that the kid have language disorders or speech disorder or whatever it could be in the diagnostic, you can improve things in the classroom, for example, being a teacher. But you need that support, because obviously as a teacher, you cannot do everything. And that's why certain professionals as speech therapists will make that easier for the kids to avoid or reduce frustration.
Yes.
You know, and help them to go and do things. Otherwise they will stand behind and
It affects their self-esteem and
absolutely,
everything.
Absolutely.
You know, and as Christians we can pray for healing, but what do we pray for healing for if we don't know what we're dealing with first? Mm-hmm. So it's not a lack of faith in God if we're looking for the root of what a problem is, and then we can find. It's interesting, it's so weird, because we didn't plan that I was going to speak to you, but the last podcast I was speaking to Mel Colley, and she was talking about how she felt like chains fell off of her when she realized that she had struggled with dyslexia at school, but she never knew.
Exactly.
This is another thing I wanted to also say. I also found this was something, I mean, obviously, I've just picked it up with years of teaching, but I've also noticed that children who do not socialize and chat to other children can sometimes be a little thing to watch for autism later, like
for
at
example,
3 years old, they should maybe be not playing just alongside others, but taking an interest and talking and engaging with others. Is that true?
It's a part of the picture. I mean, as teachers, you know your kids and you can see some behaviors that could be atypical from others. Actually, today there are tools that are really specific ones, and you can actually do assessment on kids of 1 year and 8 months already to check certain, but you can see certain
milestones.
Milestones, so you can see the development of a kid, and you can see what is there and what is not there. So in cases of the spectrum, you can see that things never were there.
Okay.
So you do a very deep interview to parents, and you do assessments on the kids by playing with them. So in my country, for example, we do this assessment along with the psychologist, the child psychologist. She will be the one doing one part of the interaction skills assessment, and I will do the communication one. So we work together to give a full picture of what happened with the kid. That little ones, you can do the assessment, so you can go all the way. So sometimes it's just that you couldn't find the right professional to do the right assessment, and some others that maybe are not so involved, that just don't notice things.
Do you know what, Dad? Yes. Do you know what? I don't know. You are from Chile. I'm from South Africa. I find that, like, and we're living in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. So without saying what it is like in each country, I've also lived in the United Kingdom and in Namibia, which is in Africa. Some places and some schools are very, very intense about looking for something, mm-hmm. and they can also be too intense and not giving it enough time. I'm just saying that because there might be parents who stress and think, oh, and sometimes things are just slow in the coming.
Exactly.
And then other places are too relaxed that they don't intervene.
Exactly.
So I just think that if you pick up, don't go around comparing your child with other children, but if you pick up something is slightly different, there's no harm in checking it out.
Exactly.
And if a teacher suggests something, it's not something to go and think, oh, this is wrong with my child, but now there's something. There's nothing. I mean, like, if you had a cold, you'd go to the doctor, you'd get it fixed up, right?
Exactly.
You don't just, like,
stay there,
you know.
Yes.
So it's just also wisdom of, like, just thinking, okay, maybe I'll check this out. If it doesn't improve, I'll look at it. And sometimes it's not bad things. It's very easy to solve.
For example, I was thinking about that in some of the questions, and actually it's a huge package of things. You know, you have to go through a process when you have a diagnostic of anything. So it's a big process for the parents, for the teachers, for everyone. So obviously if some places make it harder because they are just trying to get a label on that kid, it won't make it better. It will only make pressure on the kid, frustration, that they lost their confidence. So there is a lot of things that, of course, we have to try to give the support, because that's a big part of the situation, but also work to be better, Tracy, to try to be empathetic. Because I think that's the main word, to think that I thank God because I have a healthy, and I said this like, you never know, but for now, typical development of my little girl. But as I was working, I could see so many things changing in time, and so little things that will make your world change, that you have to be empathetic. Because when I was seeing that mom with obviously challenging behavior from their kids and suffering every day to just put her inside the car seat, and that would be a huge battle for her. Imagine that every day, and with other 100 things, and somebody looking on the street, because, you know, huge things happens on those processes. It could be in that kind of diagnostic and could be in any other. It's just because you as a parent feel that you did something wrong. I don't know. It's huge things. But reaching the help, like you said, like thinking that doing something is the right way to go, and that involves the kid with any diagnostic that you have, an early therapy with the professional that should be there, could be any, is very important. It's very important. Don't be afraid of finding the help in an early stage. It will improve your chances to make it better. I mean, the skills, to improve skills. If you do it early, then you do it after.
Yes.
That's a big thing. And also think that sometimes parents also need support. So
that's
it's not
what I'm just loving what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think what you're saying is so powerful. You know, I had, in my two children, I had Grace, I was asked to go and take her to an occupational therapy therapist. And it was weird for me because she actually walked very quickly. She did everything very quickly. She was holding a washing line pole and she just started running. And somebody said to me, oh, can she walk? I was like, I didn't know. But she just ran and then fell over. And I took her to an occupational therapist and they just said that her little core muscles needed work. Mm-hmm. We put her in ballet. And she's functioning and doing so well at school. Academically, she's amazing.
Exactly.
But I'm glad that we did sort out that core muscle issue. But, you know, I think what you're saying as well is so good, because sometimes we just see it as the children need support. But I think as parents, we feel like we want our children to be perfect, exactly. to do everything perfectly, and it's a reflection on us. Exactly. And like you're saying, it's so true, because sometimes you might have a really good baby who sleeps so well, but at two gives you tantrums, or, you know, exactly. so it's not the end of the story. There's a chapter to bringing exactly. up a child, chapters to bringing exactly. up a child, and you mustn't feel judgment if you're going through a difficult season.
Absolutely.
Because, absolutely. And like you gave that example about the car seat, you're trying to struggle on your own to keep it together and make it seem as if everything's exactly. perfect. But if you get a professional who studied it, studies how things work, exactly. and can give you some tips exactly. on how to make your life better,
exactly.
why
and,
not?
And even like before, Tracy, like before women's probably during the pregnancy or after the pregnancy, they would love to have kids and they would be just okay, and suddenly they don't feel okay anymore and they needed help and they couldn't say nothing because were the hormones or whatever. But today there are professionals that will work with you, for example, in your way. If it was too overwhelming, the process yes. of being a mom, why not? Why we have to be perfect? We nobody taught us how to be parents. We make it wrong, and then we would try to make it better the next day, and that's life, you know? Like yes. sometimes I end up in the night saying, oh, maybe today I don't know, I wasn't very patient with my little one or whatever. I will do it better tomorrow, you know? Or maybe it was okay and I'm being so hard on me. Like, you know, you have to see the whole yes. picture. But lucky me that I have good support, a good husband, a good sister, and I can just talk about those things.
Sometimes, talking about it is very important.
Exactly. Taking it out and feeling support, that's...
And getting a hug, I got
exactly.
you.
Just like that. It's important.
You know, yeah. I know that I've asked other questions because I wanted to know about if fine motor and the mouth. Mm-hmm. What is your answer for that?
I did my research because I knew the answer, but I just want to make sure. To be honest, there is nothing for me that says that the fine motor skills and the muscles of the mouth should be connected to affect to each other. You know what
yes.
I mean? Because there could be anything that could affect one or the other, but it's not necessarily connected. But what is linked to those two is probably neurological area. So in that case, if you, for example, have anything that is affecting that area, could affect both of them, but it's not connected to each other. So for example, I'm just going to make a point here. If you have a rare disease that affects the control of the muscles, of course they will be
yes.
affected, but not necessarily because one or the other.
Yes.
Together.
I was asking as a teacher, because sometimes when they hold the pencil uh-huh. and the fine motor grip is not very good,
they usually
sometimes some people tell, if your child has dribbled a lot uh-huh. when they were younger, uh-huh. that it was maybe something. So that's why I'm just asking, mm-hmm. because...
What could happen sometimes, Tracy, sorry, is that, for example, if you see that there is any delay in the neurological area, sometimes you connect... That could be any language problem, speech problem, or that you see that the fine motor skills take longer. You know
okay.
what I mean? So what happens sometimes is that the general development, it's before what you
yes.
would think that should be.
Yes.
So then you can see that it's all connected, but it's not one because of the other.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yes.
So it's a whole thing about your brain, and even like when you teach your kids to go to toilet to, you know, quit the nappies thing, and sometimes they are just not ready. And it's not just because they don't want to learn it or just because that's the first mistake of some parents. It's like, okay, I decide that he needs to remove the nappies, and sometimes you just see that it's something beyond that, and it's not... then you need to be mature enough.
Yes.
Makes sense? So that, I would say that that's the full connection in between all this.
Yes.
It's a more neurological development, being mature enough to do things. And when you
yes.
don't see it, you see it in things like, for example, Down syndrome, for example. They go and work those things, but maybe they are behind what you expect.
Yes.
You know, and it's all about a neurological development as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now I know you have to dash off, but quickly, the last question I just want to ask you. Uh-huh. As a mom, what is the best advice you ever got?
I was thinking about that yesterday, and you know what? There is a lot, but I already said something that nobody taught us how to be parents. So we have the space to, you know, have mistakes, do it better, and be better persons the day of tomorrow. And also, I think that a very good advice when I was studying and also when I became a mom is that every kid is different.
Amen.
And you also have to know how to read your own kid.
Yes.
You know, they, as you were telling, we want the reflection. You want what you expect, but sometimes you have to just stop, read your kid, see what, how wonderful they are, how
God made
all the positive things that they are, and encourage them to keep going and keep working. I think that's the main thing. If you can know that, you will not be with the pressure of others expecting things from them.
That is so key.
Yeah.
So know your child and bring out the best in them.
Absolutely.
And they must work hard. I always tell my kids, squeeze the orange. Like, get the best juice out of yourself.
Exactly. And that's what I love from New Zealand, you know, Tracy, because in my country today, the kids are so stressed when they go to school that I think that you forget that they are not a book to just write the same that was in the book before. It's a white page that you can
start again.
Exactly.
And
you can
creative.
Improve them. And that other is good in math doesn't mean that this next to you have to be good as well. Maybe he's good in, you know, art. And that's wonderful as well. That's why we have so many different people in the world. So we have to just try
embrace
to focus
in uniqueness.
Exactly. Yes. Yes, you have to.
Maria, you are wonderful.
Thank you
so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And I know people are going to be blessed.
Oh, no, thank you. It was lovely to talk. I was so nervous, but it was lovely.
No, you're not nervous. We got exactly what you're saying. I think everybody heard you got a big heart. Thank you.
Wasn't that such a great interview with Maria, the South American speech therapist? She's so wonderful. She actually teaches Spanish now, while she just learns to speak English here in New Zealand. But I just wanted to just pop in at the end of the interview to say that I understand that some mums might feel a little bit anxious after listening to that, because they might be thinking, oh gosh, there's something in my child which is not right. And our minds can begin to think thoughts that are not from the Lord. And so I just wanted to finish off by reading the scripture in Psalm 139, which is a well-known psalm. But it starts off with saying, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. And I just feel to encourage all of us mums out there, that it starts off with that God examines. There is nothing wrong with being examined by the Lord. And as a parent, it is part of our role to examine our children, to know them, to know when they're having a good day or when they're having a bad day, to know when something is challenging for them and find them help. That's part of the role. In fact, it would be a little bit neglectful if they were struggling with something and we didn't intervene in some way to help them. Or because of our own pride, we decided to shove it under the carpet and not look at how we can find some assistance and help for them. I love the fact that Maria said that every child is different. So instead of us viewing milestones as a mark to be achieved, instead, I think that we should look at it that it's just a guidance on to know that things are going along smoothly and on track developmentally. And if they're not, that this is an opportunity for prayer and to see the Lord come through and to give, for Him to provide assistance in bringing out the gold in our children. I also have sometimes wondered, when do we trust God for just healing, and when do we go to the doctors, or when do we go? And I just believe it's both and. I feel that God is able to do supernatural miracles, but he's also able to do healing, and he definitely gives people the gift of healing. There's doctors. So we should actually try and pursue all the avenues and believe that every way that we receive any help has the hand of God in it. If you go to a speech and hearing therapist and she helps you with tools on how to develop your child's speech, that is definitely the hand of God that has given her that wisdom and gift. But at the same time, if God just heals something supernaturally, of course it's God. So instead of wondering, let's go after every avenue where we can see the love of God working. And just to finish off, there's a word that says, in Psalm 139 verse 13, it says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered." Father God, I just thank you that you are all-knowing, that you are present. I thank you, God, that it is your great joy to be on the parent journey with us. You hold our hands, and you are our very great reward and inheritance. You've promised to never leave us alone or forsake us, but to be with us to the end of the age. And Father God, everybody who is listening, I pray that they would feel that grip that Maria spoke about of being hugged by arms that say, "I've got you. I've got you." And in Jesus' name, I just speak that there will be no shame in Jesus' name. That, Lord, we would let go of perfectionism and we would embrace your marvelous workmanship that is so evident in every precious child that has been blessed into our family. Whether we understand things or not, Jesus, you're the answer. And the answer is in you, Jesus. Father God, I pray that you would begin to speak to those who are listening and that they would hear your careful advice and loving words ministering to them, that you'd fill them with strength and that the spirit of revelation and wisdom would come and reside in each one of our homes, guiding us so that wisdom will build our house. In Jesus' name, amen. Till next time, friends, have a glorious day. God bless.